What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. Will the game start?
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z. Sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show. Coach Michael Zampoole here with me on the Boss Man Show from Sacramento State, out of the Big Sky, the Hornets. Coach, how you doing out there in Sac Town, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Anytime, man. Let me ask you, for you, how's it been stepping over that one seat to be the head coach now and leading these young men and putting your stamp on the program?
It's been good. It happened fast, so there wasn't a lot of time to think about it. We had a foreign tour early in the summer, so the change of leadership happened about a week before that, so there wasn't much time to work anything out except for how to get everyone on the plane and over to Australia for the tour. So it's moved quick, and the guys and the staff have done a tremendous job getting through the summer and into the fall semester. So we're excited with the group of young men we've got and having a good crack at it.
No doubt. And for you, this summer, how much was it after the foreign tour? Was it more doing some team drills, or was you more doing maybe some individual stuff to make sure you guys get better or more? We kind of did a little bit of both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. The tour after the tour, we gave the guys a month off for them to reset because they'd really been on for nearly a full 12 months. So after the month off they had, we had a 6-week block of basically we called it system fundamentals. So the different fundamentals and techniques that the guys will need in their toolkit to be successful on the floor, and then, whether it's here in Sacramento and hopefully when they go and play elsewhere after their college career as well. So it was fairly individual with some team concepts blended in with it.
No doubt. And you know what? And I think this is back. I know back when I played, it was like October 15 was the magic the day. Got to be ready October 15. Mm-hmm. So now you can get touch them in the summertime. So how cool is it to kind of build that camaraderie, kind of get ahead of things now, not trying to squeeze it all in come October with games right around the corner?
It's definitely changed. October 15, that was the date. I do remember. And I think now we've got more time. So you may have to not be smarter, but figure out a way to build out your training blocks around the fact that you do have more time. And with more time and the guys on the floor, they still have to play those 31, 32, 33 games in the same amount of time. So there is a little bit of strategy to making sure you're in really good condition come conference play, healthy come conference play, and obviously getting better at basketball. So that was kind of our mindset with this 6-week block of work that we just finished.
And for you, what do you look for in a young man to play in your program? Like when you're trying to recruit a young man, what qualities do you really want them to have on and off the floor to be a successful part of what you're trying to build?
Yeah, we actually spoke about this on the weekend. We had a camp here in Sacramento on campus, which was great. And we spoke with the young men about this and how it's changed and how it's become increasingly difficult for us to recruit as college programs, but also for young high school students to be identified and recruited. So it's changed a lot. Where I used to say competitiveness was like the one thing, like you had to identify some element of competitiveness in the kid, I do think now, like a love for the game, a passion for the game, a passion for the work, maybe even supersedes that because of how difficult it is to break through now against the transfers and the portal. And you may have to wait your turn, but if you're really passionate about basketball, then you're probably willing to do that. So we spoke about that, the passion. Then we talked about competing for the process. Like, are you willing just to compete for the process of being a part of this team and your role and being elite at it and how that and then fits in with your evolution as a player? And then we spoke about the third thing is, are you able to function as part of a 5-man collective? So these good basketball teams you watch now, there's elite individual talent, we know that. But these great teams are really collective. The assist rate has gone up through the roof in the NBA. Team USA, it was unbelievable at the Olympics, the assist rate and the made threes, but they could play with each other. So I think that's a great lesson for young players. Can you function as part of a 5-man unit on the floor, offensively and defensively? Means you got to be awake, and it means that if you haven't got a shot for the last minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, this quarter, you've still got to know what's going on the floor. So they're the three things before we even talk about shooting, dribbling, passing, screening. We talk about those three things.
And you know what you said is a word there, because sometimes these guys, a lot of guys who left situations are still in the portal, don't have anyone to play right now. But there's waiting their turn and not need immediate gratification per se. They will still have a scholarship, be on a roster. I feel like sometimes guys emotionally transfer out without a landing spot or confined landing spot and end up messing up their whole careers. And I feel like this should be more about loyalty, development, and understanding that, hey, can't wait your turn. If you, it's a process here. You know, people will cycle out. It's college, not the NBA. People will cycle out. And you, if you stay there to the course, then you can shine in your junior senior year, hopefully.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. We spoke about that too. Don't look to Instagram and think that your path and your development is the same as the person next to you. Everybody's development pathway is completely unique. And I think the great lesson was on the weekend, the USC-LSU football game. Both quarterbacks have been there for 3 years and they were recruited and then they were played over the top of, and then they were, had somebody taken out the portal and placed in front of them again. And both those guys hung on and kept on working. There was no promise of that they would be the starting quarterback this year when they committed to being on the roster 18 months ago. So I think that's a great, and they're both fantastic. Both played awesome, both fantastic. We'll probably both have a great season, but it's a hard message to convince kids and families, and like just to develop your time's coming, or, you know, your game will change as you get older. So that's where we need to be great mentors, provide a great message. But these young people that have people providing real information and real feedback, it's going to help them develop.
And coach, for you as the COVID guys tackle after this year, finding those high school gyms more and more that they can really play for you, that have enough high school training, but can come in and play for you as a freshman day one. So, talk about that, getting back to recruiting more freshmen as well as the COVID guys cycle out of the system and still having to have the portal there, but also trying to find those good young guys to have in your pipeline.
You're definitely going to have to continue to recruit high school because of the fact that the rules of the NCAA changed again even this month. So there's 15 scholarships now next year in men's basketball, or 15 roster spots, which can be 15 scholarships. 15 people can't play, and 15 people probably can't be under the impression they are going to play. So that you could essentially build in maybe some development spots, roster spots that you've earmarked for really good high school kids and transfers who will need 18 months of development. But on the front end, if you tell them that maybe you can provide a great plan for them that they're invested with, and that's part of competing for the process too, is just competing for your development.
100%. And you know what? You know, in your conference, the Big Sky, has some talented players in the Big Sky. Player development has been very key. So talk about the Big Sky, if you've been in it, seeing how the talent is in the Big Sky, seeing how the coaching and the players have developed so well, and how many of the guys are playing overseas is right now have to be playing inside the Big Sky.
Yeah, really good league. Really talented offensive coaches who develop really talented offensive players. Just to have two NBA draft picks this past summer of guys that played in the Big Sky is testament to that. So you do have to do a good job of developing players because the league historically has developed great players. And there's a lot of players that played in this league 4 or 5 years ago before we got here that are overseas playing and on good teams as well. So it's a really good league. I believe the number was the highest effective field goal percentage in the country last year as a conference, and the highest 2-point percentage as a conference last year as well. So the teams are getting quality shots. So you're gonna have to figure out how to mitigate some of that defensively.
For you, coach, at what point in your career did you kind of decide you're gonna get into coaching? I know, my father is a coach. I just didn't have the temperament to be a coach, but I really do what I'm doing on radio, talking about the game and coaching it. But for you, at what point did you decide you want to get into coaching and pour into young men and give back to young men?
It was probably before I even came to college. Like, I always just loved sport. So I thought my best chance to hang around sport was probably to coach after I finished playing. I stopped playing way earlier than what I thought. So I finished my college career playing in 2009, graduated in 2010, and started coaching then. So when I was a freshman, junior in college, I definitely thought it was a path that I'd like to pursue. And I had some knee injuries through college. I tore my ACL up a few times, so that kind of accelerated my mindset on you better figure out how to do something after playing. So yeah, from a young age, I thought if I was ever fortunate enough to coach, that I'd love to.
And for you, how's it been for you from time you and I played back in the mid-2000s to now, seeing the game kind of change and evolve? So for you, how cool has it been to watch the game evolve and do more pace and space and things of that nature, different actions on the front side and the back side, and how integrated these offenses are now with all the different actions that are involved?
Yeah, you would have made a lot of money now playing compared to the mid-2000s.
See, yeah.
The game's totally different. I don't remember practicing pick and roll basketball, playing pick and roll basketball, any of that back in the mid-2000s. And when I was a junior back home in Australia too, we didn't work on pick and roll reads and setups and screening angles, none of that. So the fact that every day is predicated on the floor around being really good at this and negating it defensively, that was a quick 20-year transition where the game looks nothing like it did back then. What still holds true is that tough, intelligent players are still going to figure out how to play really good basketball in the style that is 2024, 2025. So shooting is the one thing that if you were a really good shooter back then, you obviously had an influence on your team's success. And there are teams that can really shoot the ball now, and teams that can really finish around the rim are the ones that are driving really good offensive efficiency. So it's the game has definitely changed. The traits of a good basketball player probably are still the same as what they were 20, 30, 40 years ago.
100%, because you still got to put the ball in the hole.
Oh.
You see how I make the
That's
shots. So it's
the
still that. Sometimes some of us are it's a make or miss. Yeah, it's make or miss. It's still got to have some talent,
thing,
to put it in the hole. Last one for
you
you. From being from Australia, so for the listeners out here who never been to Australia, I've been down there once for the Australian Open tennis tournament. So talk
know,
about Australia and how cool it is down there and the different culture and environment down there. But those who don't really know about Australia, the way you and I do, and you've been from there.
yeah, different culture. When I first got to the US, I thought the US and Australia were very, very similar. And the longer I've been in the US, I couldn't think the two places are further apart and different. It's just me growing up, obviously. But we grew up on US culture, US TV shows, US movies, US sport. So we have a really good understanding of America when we do come over here on vacation or to relocate for work or school, like a lot of these young people do now. But Australia, very cool. Got a sporting culture that we really invest in, that we're proud of. Our representation at the Olympics across all sports made everybody proud to be Australian. For the amount of people that we have to have the success that we did in the pool and on the track and the team sports. Was really, really cool. And I love getting home a couple times a year to recruit and see family and friends and hang out for a little bit. So I still touch base with everyone back home often. The phone obviously makes that a lot easier now than when I first moved over here. So I definitely stay in touch with everyone back home and still very proud to be an Australian.
Oh yeah, the Australian Open when Melbourne was crazy, man. The energy was
Yes.
off the chain there, man. It was yeah, I really enjoyed that. I got to see Federer and all those gifts, Nadal, all those guys, man. It was a trip to see, man. It was fun to make that trip down there at once. And this is the flight there so long. Flight was long, man, but I enjoyed
Long
myself.
flight, long flight. That's a great 2 weeks. Anyone who would like to go watch the tennis over there should definitely do it. That was basically up the road from my house where we lived in Melbourne. But it's a great 2 weeks. The city's buzzing and plenty to do, and it's just a great time to be in the city.
No doubt. Well, Coach, good to have everyone on the show, man. To see you come to Sacramento and play the Hawks, play the Kings. Hopefully, you all have a home game. We'll be here. We can catch up with you, man. We'll do this again real soon. Best of luck to you all year, Coach. It was fun.
That'd be great. Always welcome. Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.